Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast from Middays with Susie Larson. Enjoy the conversation. It's only just a matter of welcome to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. So honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Now, I don't want to make a deal of Halloween, but I'm going to just for a moment. I don't know if you've ever noticed. I notice it every year around this time. Spiritual warfare tends to increase. And I'm not someone who says that there's a demon behind every bush. Definitely not. But have you noticed? It just seems like the air is sharper, more things go wrong, and we've just had our share behind the scenes of technical issues, and one of them is getting our guest on the line today. And again, not calling everything warfare, but if you just knew some of the things that have gone on behind the scenes where we're scrambling. But then God always does deliver, and today we're talking about the idea that the Word of God is living and alive. And it's such an important message, and it looks like we got our girl today. She writes this. She says, we want to experience God through the Bible. We really do. But our good intentions fall flat when reading the Bible just doesn't seem to make that happen. What should feel dynamic and important and alive often feels confusing, boring, and irrelevant. Nicole Eunice joins me today to talk about her book, Help, My Bible is Alive, 30 Days of Learning to Love and Understand God's Word. She says that you can personally encounter God as you read His Word. We're going to get her on in just a moment. A quick announcement. Every week for this month, which is almost over, we're giving away three copies of Francis Chan's book, Letters to the Church. All you have to do is hop on our website, myfaithradio.com, to register. Hope you win a copy. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Nicole Eunice is an author, pastor, and teaching elder in the Evangelical Presbyterian Church. For the past 20 years, she served the local church through students, developing young leaders, and leading discipleship. She holds degrees from College of William and Mary and Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary. She lives in Richmond, Virginia, with her husband and three children. And whew, we're so grateful we got you, Nicole.
Me too.
God bless you. So good to have you on the show today.
Oh, I'm so glad to be here talking about really my favorite topic in the whole world. So I'm excited.
Wow. Well, I have to tell listeners, a few weeks ago, I spoke at the beautiful Sandy Cove Retreat Center out east. And I've been there a few times now. And Andrea Hampton, who's the program director there, pitched next year's conference. And your face came up. And when she and I were out for a walk, she goes, there's nobody that reminds me of you more than Nicole. And I'm like, okay, I'm getting this girl on the show. So I'm super excited.
I was so thrilled by that. There's no one I'd like to be reminded of more than you. So that was pretty fun. And Andrea is a special lady. I mean, I just love her. So yeah, good stuff.
Well, indeed. Looking forward to our time together. And friends, Nicole's book, Help, My Bible is Alive, 30 Days of Learning to Love and Understand God's Word. We've got four copies to get into your hands. And if you listen often enough, you know the drill, but we've got new listeners checking in every day. So what you do is text the word book to this number, 877-933-2484. If you just long to do a deeper dive in Scripture and understand it and apply it to your life, this is such a helpful resource, 877-933-2484. And you can text that same line if you've got questions or comments about studying your Bible, and you can email middays@myfaithradio.com. So, Nicole, we love to open the show every single day talking Scripture. And again, you're someone, one thing Andrea said is you open your mouth and Scripture flows out of you even when you're not referencing Scripture, and I love that. But is there a verse you've been pondering these days, hanging around these days, that you can share with us?
Yeah, you know, I have been in a season of change, and so I've found myself, I don't actually memorize Scripture that well. I feel like I'm supposed to be, as a Bible teacher, like, and I do Scripture memory, and I don't. I'm just not good at it. It's hard for me to keep all the words, like, exactly in order without reading from Scripture. But I found myself in a season where I've really committed to memorize Psalm 27, which is about really finding God as our refuge and our strength. And I love the end of it where it says, wait on the Lord, be strong and take heart, and wait on the Lord. And the chapter is really about how we find confidence in who God is, no matter what we're going through. And having those words in my mind, being able to actually pull them up, and when I'm driving or getting ready for my day or whatever, the ability to just turn your mind to Scripture, it is powerful. It does something deep in our souls that nothing else can do.
Indeed, it does. Why Psalm 27? That really is a passage of standing in the face of opposition, in the face of the storm, it seems. Tell me a little bit more about that, if you would.
Yeah, I've been in full-time local ministry at the church that I've loved, grew up in, really, from my earliest young adult years, the place where I found experiences of grace for the first time, and all my sort of cut all my leadership teeth in this place. And God just has brought me into a new season where I'm writing and teaching full time while also kind of having a little more flexibility with my teenagers. And it just has been hard. It's hard to do some things, even when you know they're the right thing to do. And even when the change is good, I think that sometimes we can really uncover really deep insecurities for a season that maybe we didn't even know were there. And so I've found that I've needed the truth of Scripture even more deeply, even though I love being in the Bible and love referencing it, really the ability to say, you know, to open your mouth and they're like, the Lord is the stronghold of my life. Like the ability to actually memorize a verse and say it to myself wherever I am, I've needed in this season to just stay the course and to stay present and not be anxious about the future or, you know, kind of living in the past.
That is so good and so powerful. And that's the distinction between positive thoughts and the living, powerful, active Word of God. So say a word, if you would, about the living, active, powerful Word of God. I mean, we're not just parroting positive thoughts. I mean, the Word of God is living and active. So speak
And really all we're doing when we say living and active is we're referencing Scripture. So Hebrews 4:12 says the Word of God is alive and active and that it penetrates into our heart. So what I think about when I look at the Bible is, okay, I go all the way back and I'm like, okay, do I believe in a God? Do I believe in a God who's left us instruction and encouragement and a direction for the way we live our life? And my answer is yes to both of those. So therefore, I'm like, okay, well, then I'm going to have to align my life under what God says is what life is about. And what God says the Bible is actually about is what we're referencing right now. It says in Scripture that the Bible is alive, that the Bible reads us, that the Bible is above us, like it is beyond us, and that we can find our lives in Scripture. The Bible says that all Scripture is useful and God-breathed for correction and instruction. It says so that we will be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's from 2 Timothy. And the idea is like, okay, Do I believe that I have good works to do? Do I want to be thoroughly equipped? Because whether I feel it or not, whether I believe it or not, that's what the Bible says about itself. And I don't know about you, Susie, but I want to align myself under what the Bible says about itself. I want to try it out. And I think so many of us have opened Scripture and found it confusing, or we're not quite sure like a framework for how to read it or where to start. And so we're not experiencing the promises and the goodness. We haven't put the work in and maybe haven't been instructed well in how to do that for ourselves. Because if it's true that the Bible is thoroughly equipping me for every good work, I certainly want to know what the Bible says. I mean, I want to be equipped for the life that God has given me. And I think many of us feel very ill-equipped, you know, as we become adults. We're like, can somebody give me an instruction manual for my life, for my marriage, for my workplace, for my children? We're looking for it, and yet there's some obstacles, I think, that have stood in our way of finding it in Scripture, even though that is the promise of the Bible.
Boy, so good. You know, I like you're referencing the passage where it talks about it's for correction, because in it, we're in a day, it seems we cherry pick. We sometimes will try to find passages that justify what we're doing. But when you're going to the Word, as you say, I'm aligning, this is my plumb line. I'm not picking and choosing. I don't have cultural Christianity where I'm trying to manipulate my faith to match my life. If I really am submitting to the Word of God, it will bring correction to my life. And that's just the reality, right?
Right. And I think that sometimes people, that's daunting, right? Because it's true. It's not like the Bible is not written in a set of bullet points. I mean, it is not a tweet. It is not a 2-minute YouTube video. So you could have every intention of everything that you and I have talked about, Susie. But when you go to the Bible, you're like, I don't know how to apply this to my life. I don't know what this is trying to say to me. And so then I get frustrated. And as adults, we don't like to be frustrated. We like mastery. We don't like mystery. And so if I can't master it right away, and in our very, very like instant gratification culture, I just read a study that said the human's attention span is now less than a goldfish. It's under 9 seconds.
Wow.
And because that's what we live in, and then there's some work to do to get to where the Bible really applies to our life. Like, we have to actually apply our minds and our attention to something. And that's why I wrote this in a 30-day, really, it's a challenge. It's like, hey, will you come with me for 30 days, even if every day doesn't feel so great? Will you commit to do it? Because at the end of it, the promise of this experience is that you will have a framework for reading any passage of Scripture. You will understand how to find out more about what you read and where to go next, so that you don't find yourself, even when you're committed, opening something and being like, I just don't know what to do with this passage about, you know, the Levitical like rites of the priesthood. You know, I don't know what to do with it. So my heart is really for believers in any part of their journey, whether this is a start for them in the Bible or a restart, to just find and love God's word again, so that they will have a personal relationship with God that they find in the Scripture, you know, just them and Jesus. So
very good. We're going to pause here. When we come back, we're going to talk about what does it look like to encounter God as you read his word? What do you do with those hard-to-understand passages? And Nicole, on the other side, I would love to know if you have other go-to passages that are sort of your life scripts, where they're just your verses that you go to in times of battle, in times of rest. I've got a few of my own as well. Love to know that from you as well, friends listening today. Is there a go-to passage that you sort of hang on, you find yourself returning to again and again? Also, we've got four copies of the book, Help, My Bible is Alive, 30 Days of Learning to Love and Understand God's Word. Text the word book, 877-933-2484, and email middays at myfaithradio.com. And if you've got questions, comments, send those along as well. More with Nicole Eunice in a moment. Tuning in. What a great song. Thanks for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson talking to Nicole Eunice. Her book is like a handbook, really teaching and equipping you to dive deep, study Scripture, and encounter the God who loves us. It's titled Help, My Bible is Alive, 30 Days of Learning to Love and Understand God's Word. If you want to get into the drawing, you can text the word book to 877-933-2484 or email middays at myfaithradio.com. And Nicole writes, applying God's word will help you with your attitude, your perspective, and your decisions. You can discover your purpose in a way that impacts the way you think, feel, and act every day. And I would love to, Nicole, if you've got some go-to verses that are just you've carried with you throughout the years that you find yourself returning to again and again.
Yeah, absolutely. I really have. I think I'm a big, like, why person, and I think God's used that for me to to want to, you know, explore. I'm sort of like, what is this really all about? Like, let's get to the bottom line. You know, in the midst of the mundane and the challenging and the hard things of our earthly life, what is God up to, and how can I be about what that is? And so I'm always asking, like, at the end of the day, what is really success? And so I found myself really drawn to places in Scripture that give us a job description. They really give us a vision for life, and one of those is in 2 Corinthians 5, and it says that God has committed to us the ministry of reconciliation, and it says that we're ambassadors of reconciliation. And I found that to be a very challenging and helpful almost mantra for my day. You know, wherever I go, whatever relationships I encounter, whether it's fully in my home or out in the world, God has given me this gift where I bring the presence and peace of Jesus, which is reconciling the world to himself. I mean, it's an incredibly high calling that all of us are called to, because that's what the Bible gives us. The Bible gives us these high callings. But they often come in different kinds of packages, because I have a high calling doesn't mean I have a high position or a high paycheck. It does mean, though, that I am carrying something beautiful and good and powerful everywhere I go. And in seasons of life with little children, to difficult leadership seasons, to, you know, this next kind of season of open transition, I'm like, no, I have a job. I know what my job is. You know, that is my job, and God can play that out in a lot of different places. So that's a way that I use Scripture. And Susie, I'd love to hear kind of how you take some of the things that have been your life verses
Wow. You know, usually guests don't turn it around like that. Way to go.
If you ever need a co-host, let me know.
Yes, exactly. I'll be calling you for sure. Psalm 18 is one of my go-to passages because of some of the things that I've walked through that have been devastating, you know, and that he reached down, you know, in a day when the enemy was too big for me, too strong. He confronted me in my day of disaster, but the Lord was my support. He reached down from on high, rescued me because he delighted in me. But then he rose me up, trained my hands for battle, strengthened my arms to bend a bow of bronze, put my feet on high places, which to me speaks of spiritual agility, learning how to walk in uneven and high-level terrain. And that whole thing has been my life script because nothing has ever come easy for me. And but I see his faithfulness and that he's not wasted 1 ounce of my pain. So that's my go-to. Yeah.
Oh, doesn't it just, like encourages my heart. I mean, this is what I want for our listeners and for the readers of this book is to realize you don't need a seminary degree. You don't need to have this unbelievable like education. You can have a study Bible and a framework to hear and apply scripture to your life in a way that is not only powerful for you, but is powerful for all the people around you. Because I am so encouraged by the way you just broke down Psalm 18. I've never heard it quite that way, where you just pulled out, you know, here's the three things from that psalm that have stood out to me, and this is what they mean about trial and about what God is doing in that and about spiritual agility, which is a beautiful phrase. You know, so that's what our listeners can have with their families, with one another in their churches when we believe that we can apply scripture like that to our own lives. It just, it's a tragedy to me for any place where people feel like, no, you have to be a pastor or you have to have a seminary. Like, that is not what the Bible is about. I mean, if you can identify, you know, a verb and a pronoun, if you can find a list in scripture, then you can find what God has for you that day. And that's really the simplicity of this method. It's just, how do I have a framework with how to read a study Bible so that I can understand what principles God has given me to go live out?
So good, Nicole. And we're in a day of such rant and rage, and especially lately in the internet with some of the things going on, and people have very strong opinions. And one of the things in your book, you talk about personalizing scripture. And again, you can find fault with, I mean, there are people yelling, you shouldn't make it personal. I'm like, it's very personal. He loved us so much that he gave up his son, you know, but talk about that. And even, you know, I mean, I know we can, when we make things all about us, we're missing the greater story of the gospel, but I think for you can't impart what you don't possess. So talk about the importance of, you know, in a biblical perspective on personalizing scripture so that you can be an ambassador, as you say.
Well, yeah, and I think that part of, you know, it's interesting how you said that, Susie, because I think that we sometimes react to things that we've seen. So here's something that I think can be an this, I don't even call this an over-personalization of scripture. This is just over-spiritualizing something for our personal gain. So in that sense, I might be like, well, God told me to enter in whatever you want to say. God told me to do whatever. And it's like, okay, well, help me understand from the principles of scripture how the Spirit has spoken to you in that way, because God does not contradict himself. Mm-hmm. So when we have an anchor in scripture, we are then able to test and approve God's will, as it says in Romans 12, his good, perfect, and pleasing will for our lives, because we understand the character of God and the character of humanity. So the idea of personalizing scripture, we have to ask ourselves, well, what's the fruit of it? When I really enter into a story, what's the fruit of it? Is the fruit more worship of God? Is it a softer heart? Is it my confession? Because that's good fruit. So if that's what it's doing for me, then I need to be doing more of that. If it's somehow making me self-centered, narcissistic, self-righteous, if it's moving me to be a hypocritical, harsh person, well, then no, that's not the fruit of the Spirit. So your flesh has gotten involved in that, you know. So for me, the way that I apply scripture, it's a very simple method. I just went through it with a group who did this book in advance, and we just looked at the prodigal son, because a lot of people know that story. And I invited them in their devotion time to not just consider what it would have felt like to be the younger son, but also to consider what it would feel like to be the older son, and also to consider what it would feel like to be the father. And just access, you know, spend 15 minutes just accessing the feelings. And sometimes when we do that, it's just scripture comes to life, and then we carry it with us into our day. So what was a 15-minute devotion with God becomes a full-day conversation with God, where maybe we're, you know, really resonating with what it would feel like to be a parent who sets your child free knowing that they're hurting themselves. Like, what is that like? And how have I ever done that to God? You know, when has God been grieved by my actions? And how do I just say, thank you, Heavenly Father, that your always arms are always open to me? And so what became a study, quote unquote, actually becomes this living, dynamic relationship when we have, I think, really the confidence and the imagination to place ourselves within the stories of Scripture.
I think that's amazing. And one thing we've covered on the show and I've studied to some degree that I'm fascinated by is just the neuroscience and how that is really, it's catching up with Scripture, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically
mm-hmm.
say when you are, let's say you're even lingering with a memory that awakens thoughts of gratitude and joy, that it actually creates all these synapse fires in your brain that are healthy. It's creating new neural pathways and it increases your capacity to learn and understand. Where conversely, if it's self-berating, if it's critical, if you're rehearsing something that's destructive to you, everything sort of shuts down. So I'm trying to imagine, you know, watching a story unfold in Scripture and like imagining what it was like for that prodigal son to be embraced before he even said a word and letting that kind of linger. I mean, really, there's something that comes awake in your mind, body, and spirit because it's coming alive to you. You know what I'm saying? And it might be a bit of a stretch, but I'm just saying there's something very powerful about sitting a little bit longer rather than just racing through the words.
Yeah, and that's really the spirit of this Bible study is this is about a framework for you to have a relationship. It's not a destination. This is just a path, which means you may, you know, I read out 2 Corinthians 5 just earlier, and that's been on my heart and mind for like 5 years. It's not something that I just picked up yesterday. You know, that's something that God's been working deeply into the core of my being for a long time. And that's the beauty of Scripture is that we actually, you know, the big theological word is sanctified. We're actually changed and transformed, becoming more like Christ, really bearing the image of God in a more beautiful way just over time, which means that there's not a rush. There's not mastery. You don't have to be. Now, you know, in the book, we do talk about how do you get to principles of who God really is, and that there is a learning curve there. And I think everyone, we should just acknowledge that the Bible is long and complicated, and God is big and mysterious. So you're not going to know those things immediately, but that's where a study Bible and study helps with that part of it. But as you begin to know the character of God throughout His Word, you're able to relate and experience Him. And yes, I believe your mind, your body, your spirit actually changes. It's mm-hmm. transformed by the power of God's life in your life, you know?
Yeah. Well, that passage, I think it's 1 John or 3 John, I pray that you're in good health, that your soul prospers as your body prospers. Yeah. We're going to pause here. When we come back, Nicole, love for you to talk about some of the hurdles we face when diving in. And that might just help people know, hey, I'm facing those right now. And
sure.
Also, this dear listener says, personalizing Scripture takes focus off of Jesus, puts it on the reader. We become the center instead of Jesus. And I love you, dear friend. But I think you might have missed what Nicole said. We've got to look at the fruit, because if you're personalizing a passage, it makes you worship God more and understand Him more. Then the fruit of that is good. If it's making you the center, well, of course, then it's not so good. Talking to Nicole Eunice, her book, Help, My Bible is Alive, 30 Days of Learning to Love and Understand God's Word. 4 copies, you can text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484, or email middays@myfaithradio.com. We'll be back in a minute. The world that He gave His one and only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in Him will not perish but have eternal life. Isn't that a powerful passage? Thanks for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson, talking to my new friend Nicole Eunice. I love this girl. Her book is Help, My Bible is Alive, 30 Days of Learning to Love and Understand God's Word. If you want to move from skimming Scripture to studying Scripture and applying it to your life and seeing true transformative life change, I would love for you to get your name in on the drawing. We've tried to simplify this. You just text the word book to 877-933-2484. If you've got questions or comments, you can include those as well. Nicole writes, the Bible contains what God wants us to know to thrive in the world He's made. It's a life-changing, living, breathing experience with the incredible and personal God of the universe. So, Nicole, tell me, what are some of the most common hindrances to studying the Bible? That maybe things that push us back, intimidate us? What do you say?
Yeah, Yeah, and Susie, I think it might be good for listeners to know that actually I've taught this method for the last 9 years, eight years in the local church. And so a lot of what I share and kind of express in this book comes from normal people who are in the church pews, like wanting to know God. And this is a response to what I've heard over the years. And so some of those things are, I think it's irrelevant. It's confusing. I don't know where to start. Another one is it's crazy to think you can hear from God. I mean, that's a real thing. Like, is it weird to, you know, want to hear from God for myself? And then, of course, only, you know, educated, only super Christians, only pastors, only preachers, only seminarians really can understand God's word. And these are faithful, educated, intelligent, great, you know, faithful people that I've known who feel that way. And I think that when we do something that's hard for us to do, I mean, if you think about it, it's the very rare adult who submits themselves to doing something that they think is hard to do. Like, we don't really like that. we like to get to our adulthood and think that we've kind of made it, you know. And
I'm so the boss of my body now, right?
Yeah, we don't. I mean, there's a very small minority of adults who learn for the sake of learning, but most of us, we like to do things that we know we're good at, and we find a lot of joy and pleasure out of that. So if you come to the Bible and you're like, well, shoot, I feel like I should already know this, and that's another dynamic I've seen so much. You've got a group of Christians, maybe one person has some extra Bible knowledge or has been around for a while, and they dominate the conversation. And meanwhile, the other eight people feel stupid because they don't know how to contribute, because they can't cross-reference this to this and understand why this story relates to the Old Testament. And so they just sort of give up and they go quiet. And that's just a shame, because I think that if you do the work, it's a little bit like exercise. Exercise when you're not a person who exercises is not fun for the first 30 days. It's just not. It doesn't feel good. You feel uncomfortable. You don't know for sure if you're doing it right. But as the endorphins start to kick in, as you actually have some intrinsic motivation because your body begins to respond, it becomes easier to do and you become more confident. And this 30 days is the same. It's like, hey, you're going to do something that's going to be kind of uncomfortable. You may feel like you're behind the curve, like you should have already known these things. But really what we're saying is just commit to the work even when it doesn't feel good, and the return on your investment is incredibly powerful. Like, if we would do that for a diet or for exercise, surely we can find it in ourselves to make a 30-day commitment, 20 minutes a day, to do something kind of uncomfortable so that we can get over this hurdle. I mean, I'm just sort of like, come on, everybody, we can do this. Like, yeah, it can happen. So I believe in the hurdles. I address them in the book, but I also kind of want to say, hey, you guys, anything worth doing is work. And so there's a little bit of a work component to this, but I promise on the other side of it, your experience in Scripture, your confidence in Scripture, your ability to apply it to your life will be completely different than it was when you started.
What would be some of the testimonies that you've heard from people who maybe went in with fear and trembling but came out the other side? What are some of the testimonies you've heard?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, there's a portion, and I think about week two, it's about days 6 through 10, where my online group, which we are having an online group that starts up this coming Monday. It's open to everybody who's using the book right as it's come out just yesterday. And so in that group, there's people who are like, I don't think I get it. I felt really confused. I just sat here for 15 minutes. I didn't think I was doing it right. And what we did is we built in video tutorials, and I show my answers in the back of the book and through a website that supports the book to say, hey, if you get stuck, you can go see how I did it. Now, tomorrow, you can try again. So, but what's happened on the other side as we've gotten that group through 30 days is people say, I have been in church all my life. I've done lots of Bible studies, but I never felt confident that I could just go to God with the Bible, and now I do. And that's really the promise, is Bible studies are great. You and I love them. We write them. We do them. But at the end of the day, I really want people to know that they can have a personal relationship with God just through His Word. You don't need another friend with you. You can be with God and be working through Scripture in your personal devotion life and know how to do it.
Now, what would you advise for a new believer? Where should they start? And the second question to that is, what are we to do with some of the really hard to understand portions of Scripture? I'm wondering if, with a brand new believer, Levitical law is probably not the best place to start. But for anybody, that's where people trip up. I mean, people bail out of their one-year reading plan around, I think, February or so. So
I know.
What do you say?
Well,
you say?
I actually, I don't advise people to read starting in Genesis. So that's one thing. The idea behind this 30 days is that we move through all the major kinds of literary style in the Bible. So there's narrative, there's poetry, there's prophecy, there's parables, and there's letters. So we look at a little bit of each of those and where those are. And then at the end of the 30 days, I recommend 10 books of the Bible to read first before you do any others. And part of what this method does is it gives you a framework for how to use study notes, how to use book introductions within a good study Bible, so that when you get to those passages, you're not just hung out there alone. And a lot of it is just, I just wouldn't start with Leviticus. That's just not where I would read if I was a new believer. There's some real strong aspects of who God is, who Jesus is, how that applies to our life that you're going to find in some other books of the Bible as a starting point, and then you can kind of come back to some of the more difficult to understand parts of the Bible.
You know, you also address in your book the idea of hearing from God. And again, hotly debated topic, sadly, because I really believe, as Romans talks about, that all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God, and His Spirit testifies with our spirit and affirms that we are God's children. Talk about how, because especially maybe someone listening today going, I love God. I've never heard the voice of God. You know, I don't know how does He speak? What do you say?
Yeah, I mean, and I think that's a personal experience. I feel like I've only had a strong personal, call it a voice of God. It wasn't an audible voice probably two times in my life. So it's not like I'm in an experience where God, I'm hearing an audible voice of God every day. But what I believe is that because God's word is living and active, He is always meeting us in His word. So He's always speaking to us through His word. In scripture, it also says that God speaks through His creation, that all of creation cries out to the glory of God. So I think that there is general revelation, which is creation, what God's made. We can learn a lot about the character of God through His things that He's made. I love the idea of we have seasons, right? And you know what? Our soul has seasons too. God teaches us a lot about who He is through His creation, and then He teaches us specifically through His word. He talks to all of us. I mean, anyone who can read the Bible, who knows a Bible story, God is speaking to us through His word. It's a matter of us actually believing that. I love the passage in the Gospel of John where the disciples of Jesus say to Him, "What must we do to do the works that God requires?" They're asking, how do we live a life where we're following God? And Jesus says, the work of God is this, just the work, one work. The work of God is this, to believe the one He sent. So actually, what we're doing in Scripture, when we're trying to hear from God, we are actually doing the only work that God has called us to do, which is to believe Him. So part of what we're doing when we're asking to hear from God is to believe what He says. But if you don't know what He says, because you're not in Scripture, it's going to be really hard to know the tone of His voice. It's going to be hard to know how He's speaking, which is why I do believe that we're all called to be students of the Word, to all called to a really daily relationship with the Bible, because it is God's chosen instrument for revealing His specific revelation for what matters in life.
You write this. It's ridiculous that God would use us as confused and screwed up and as unsure as we are. I'm like, hearty amen there. Yet He still says that His plan is to use us in the world. He isn't waiting for you to memorize in order the books of the Bible or sin less or learn more worship songs. He's urgently and actively working in your life and in the lives of the people you encounter every day. But it's up to you to get equipped for the task. I think that's such an important insight, Nicole, because on one hand, if we think He's waiting, we're going to be waiting forever because you're not going to get it all right all the time and, you know, check every single box. And yet, there is engagement required here. He does say, come off the stands, come on down the field, and let's get in this. So say a word, if you would, maybe to that person who feels like, I could never talk like you do, Nicole, the way you rattle off scripture and references. I want to be on the field. I'm so intimidated, but I want to be used by God. Maybe just speak to that person.
Yeah, I think, first of all, I think God works with our desire. Like, you know, I've heard Beth Moore, a long time ago, I heard her say, you know, if you don't hunger for thirst for Scripture, you can ask God to help you want to want him. Like you can ask him to help you increase your desire. So a person who has the desire but maybe feels like they're so far behind or doesn't know where to start, God can work with that. And again, this is a journey. It is not a destination, which means that every day spent in Scripture, you are never wasting your time. And I often say this at retreats. I say to retreats all the time, if I came back here next year and you had one more insight than you had at this point in your life, that is progress. I mean, I would love for it to be more than that. But if you've read one more verse or one more Bible book, something, then that's progress. So don't measure your progress off somebody else. Measure it for where you are. And all of us have different lives with a lot of different demands, but all of us actually do have free time. I mean, even when I had three children under the age of five, you're slammed. Somehow I still was on Facebook. You find a way, you know, to have a little bit of that time. And I think really this is about making those small deposits for our soul, for the edification and the feeding of our spirit, which will then actually create in us a stronger body and emotion and mind, because our spirit is the most essential element of us. So this is about spiritual feeding. It's not about how fast you can do it or how much you know. It's a little bit at a time. And really, I think that this book sets you up for that. If you're listening and that describes you, this book is helping set you up for that, that you can find the confidence that you need to actually believe, okay, God is going to speak to me today. When I sit down, and today I'm on Philippians 2, and I've read three verses, and I didn't understand it. I had to look at it for 15 minutes, but I was able to rewrite one of the verses, and I understand what it means, and I took it with me. That is progress. That's all it is. It's just one step at a time, one day at a time.
Man, great. I'm thinking of John 15, you know, apart from me, you can do nothing. Abide in the vine and you'll bear much fruit. Part of bearing fruit is for the nourishment of the body. And you think of how the implications of a wordless life. Do you know what I'm saying? Where we're not spending time in the Word. And this isn't ought to's, should do's. This is not condemnation. I always say this is get to. But you think about if we put our time to everything but the Word, and we're not abiding in the vine, our lives aren't bearing fruit, which means we're not changing, but also others aren't being nourished. You know, we're not in isolation. And I don't know if you read that study or heard the study from Willow Creek from years ago, but they did this study and they said they determined that those who are in the Word four times a week and more are the ones who are experiencing radical transformation in their lives. But those who are hit and miss, start and stop, there's just very little, hardly notable changes in there and just there how they approach life. I think that's pretty fascinating. So
yeah, I mean I had not heard that, Susie, but I think it's really true. We love to, you know, I'm in ministry. I'm a professional Christian. I tell people all the time, you know, my job is to help create experiences to connect people to God and to one another. But at the end of the day, the most important thing is our personal relationship with God. It's nothing but that. And catalytic experiences, worship experiences once a week will not sustain a life in this dark world that we live in that is full just shouting of voices of confusion. We need to know that we do have a place of clarity, and it's worth the work to find it.
Indeed. It's not even about an event. It's about a relationship, a daily, thriving, intimate walk with God. That's really why this show exists. We're going to pause for our last break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the idea that we are works in progress, and we get to be as we go from strength to strength. We're going to understand verses a little bit with more clarity once we walk through certain things. So how do we treat each other while we're works in progress? I want to talk to Nicole about that. Her book, Help, My Bible is Alive, 30 Days of Learning to Love and Understand God's Word. Are you up for the 30-day challenge of studying? I would love for you to get in the drawing. Just text the word book to 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a moment. Love worship music. Thanks for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson in studio with my arms in the air. Wow, we're so blessed to belong to the Most High God that we have access to the inner throne room, and we can always be assured of his glad welcome. What an amazing gift Jesus died to give us. I'm Susie Larson. This is Middays, talking to Nicole Eunice. I love this girl. My friend Andrea Hampton said I would love her, and she was right. So her book is Help, My Bible is Alive, 30 Days of Learning to Love and Understand God's Word. You long to just be equipped to do a deeper dive in Scripture so that you have a handle on it, you understand it. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. So a couple things. One, you know, I had Anne Graham Lotz on recently. She's got an amazing book on the Holy Spirit, and she was talking about how there are times when God just lifts the word off the page that really does apply to you. Or, you know, I think people who are maybe Bible snobs would bring their fist right down on the story that I'm about to say. But she was walking through chemo and she wanted to finish. And I don't remember which story it was. It wasn't the walls of Jericho, but it was something where the number 7 or something was mentioned. And she said she just felt the whisper of the Lord, him telling her, finish this next, that will be 7 treatments, and then you can be done. And she just, it was like the Lord just spoke through a story. I want you to say a word about that, again, because people will pounce on that, but I can't tell you the times where God has just brought a story to life. It quickened within me, and I thought, I heard something from the Lord here, and I'm going to go on it. So what do you say about that?
You know, I think that we have to look at the fruit. You know, that's really what this is about. Is this moving us to, we know, I mean, many of us learned in Sunday school, the fruit of the Spirit from the book of Galatians, you know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. Is it moving me toward those things? Is this voice that I'm hearing, and actually I think that most of us carry a pretty critical voice. We carry a boss kind of condemning voice in our mind. It's like, come on, Nicole, get it together. That is not the voice of God, because the voice of God represents the fruit of the Spirit of God. So actually, when the voice of God speaks to us or speaks to me, I found it to be more gentle, more kind, more gracious than I would ever be with myself. So why would I not follow that? You know, I think that God asking us to be obedient. I've had a few opportunities or experiences where God's sort of prompted me to speak to a stranger. What is the fruit of that? Well, the fruit of it is it's increasing my faithfulness to God. It blessed my heart. It was for a reason. And as we have that happen to us, we're like, oh man, I want to be more a part of what God is doing. In fact, in Scripture, the Spirit of God often speaks to people in very specific ways, and they're obedient to it. And the way that the God speaks is not because he's going to say to all of us, go talk to a man on Straight Street and he's going to give you what you need. You know, the point is, the principle to apply there is that the Spirit of God does speak specifically. And all through Jesus' ministry, we see that Jesus was drawn by God's voice speaking to him specifically. So we should I will be happy to debate this with anyone, but I'm like, we should 100% believe that God, the Spirit of God, speaks specifically to us to draw us into this life of reconciliation, this life of love, this life of passion and purpose around bringing others to know Christ. That is our call. That's our calling as believers. So I think he does speak very specifically in that way.
One of our dear friends who's a retired pastor, he was our pastor for many years, but he said in his gentle, humble way, one of the ways too that you know it's the Lord is it surprises you. Of course, it lines up with Scripture, but there's just that little breath within you where you go, I wouldn't have thought of that on my own.
I love that. I love that principle. It's a great one. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So here's another one, and I've addressed this on the show before. I want so much to change the tone in the body of Christ, because as a person who's on both sides of the microphone, I see so much that grieves me, and I literally am on my face going, Father, you wanted us to be one. How do we do this? Help us to do this. But, you know, I've heard many speakers even say over the years that they would throw away their own messages, old messages, because of what they know about God's word now. In jest, but they're saying, I thought I knew what that verse meant, but after some suffering and some deeper study, this is what I know it to believe. And I think that I think we can all say that to some degree, that we are works in progress. That's way different than someone who's purposely twisting Scripture and being a false teacher. Yet, I don't know about you, Nicole, but I hear that phrase lobbed onto people way too much. And it might be because they agree, I should say disagree with something that's you could make a case for on both sides of Scripture. So I would love for you, if you wouldn't mind, make the distinction between us being a work in progress and just trying to be earnest students, but we see us in a glass dimly, and someone who actually is a false teacher. Would you just make a distinction for us?
Yeah. This is a tough one, isn't it, Susie? Especially in our world today. I think this is really why I have a passion for people knowing the scriptures for themselves, because I once heard Francis Chan say, no matter what I'm saying on the stage, I believe it was at the Passion Conference, so 60,000 college students, and he was like, no matter what I'm saying on this stage, you must test and approve my words through scripture. Like, do not believe that I am the voice of God. And I was so grateful for his humility to express himself that way, because we, and when I teach, I really try to say, hey, I'm going to throw out a theory, and I'm going to back it up with scripture. You have to test and approve that this is what God is saying as a believer who has the Spirit of God within you. And that is, I think that's the spirit with which we will be able to hold together the tension, because there truly is tension in scripture between things that we're not quite sure about. And we have to be okay with some mystery. I think I've told a friend recently, I'm sure about Jesus Christ. I am sure about what Jesus said about salvation. There's a lot of things that I'm like 80% sure about based on how I interpret scripture, but I'm really open to the idea that, yeah, I can see that there can be people on the other side. Now, here's the highest value, and having gone through a difficult season, stepping into each day and asking, what am I speaking up about? What matters? Really, the question I would ask myself is this done in love? Where is love? And love is self-sacrificing. Love is humble. Love is kind. Love is gracious. Love is patient. So as I'm entering into this, how do I do so with the spirit of love? There has been times where in the spirit of love, I have called out what I've believed to be false teaching. But it was in the spirit of love. You know, and that's rather than a spirit of condemnation, a spirit of hate, a spirit of disunity. So we have to test and approve our hearts. You know, it says in scripture, Paul says at one point, my conscience is clear. I don't know if it's clear with God, but from what he's given me, it's clear. So that's what I'm going to work with. And I think all of us could do well to ask ourselves, how does the highest principle of love apply? Now, love doesn't mean tolerance of everything, but it always means affirming a person as a person. Jesus never objectified people. He never made a person an object lesson. He always valued the soul. You know, that every person, no matter who they are, no matter how much hurt they've done, they were made in the image of God. Like, humanity is made in the image of God. So there's an inherent dignity and worth to every person. And I think that if we could do, we would do well to remember that, so that the spirit with which we enter into arguments or theological convictions or whatever is done in that kind of love, holding up the dignity of another person, even when we disagree with them.
You know, amen. I often think that the Lord allowed some of these gray areas where you could build a case on either side. So to see what we would do with them.
Yeah.
You know, will we love each other? Will we agree to disagree in humility? I mean, there's Orthodox Christianity. You can't pull apart the Trinity. You can't say hell doesn't exist. You can't say everybody's a Christian and you have to opt out. I mean, those are some things.
There is a way to salvation. I mean, it's clear.
Right.
You know, I mean,
exactly. So, yeah. So what I'm saying is,
but there's a lot that's not clear. Yeah.
That's
and there's
right.
a lot. In the scriptures, too, you know, it's interesting, Susie, we have different issues of our day, but you look and you read the pastoral letters with Paul's letters to the churches as they were starting, and those are great places to start, by the way, if you're looking for a place to read. It's all about unity. It's all about having theological divisions and not being sure what to do with the Jews and the Gentiles, not being sure what to do with the widows, not being sure what to do with the order of worship. It wasn't about those topics. It's about how to handle them, right? So we have all of our own topics like that of today's world. And what the spirit that Paul is bringing is about unity. How do we remain unified in a dark world, you know? Mm-hmm. Not how do we figure out who's right and then crucify everybody else.
That's right. Oh, have mercy. We've got about a minute and a half left. You know, one of the things I pray constantly is for revival to come to our nation. Mm-hmm. You do write about repentance in the book. Say a word, if you would, about repentance and the need for it.
It's like a bad word in our day, but I'm like, I just, at the end of the day, I'm like, what is the action that God is looking for from our hearts, really, at the end of the day? And I think this addresses a little bit of the reader question who said, no, Jesus is always the hero of the story. Jesus always is the hero of the story. But sometimes personalizing scripture is what actually leads me to repentance. Yeah. And there's some main things that I believe God calls us to that are based in his word. And it's a response to his presence, right? And one of those things is worship. Another thing is encouragement. Another thing is confidence. And a huge thing is repentance. And repentance really just means stopping going my own way, stopping living for myself, and actually realigning myself with God as the hero of my story, with God as my Lord and Savior, with God as the one who knows all and who I can trust. And that's repentance, yes, looks like confession of sin, but it also looks like just the human tendency we all have to go our own way. Like, it's just like that hymn, prone to wander. Lord, I feel
Lord,
it.
Lord, I feel it.
Prone to leave the God I love. Like, we are prone to wander. And so repentance is about realigning ourselves with the kingdom of God, which is a perfectly beautiful place to be no matter the storms in your life. And
amen. Got to jump here. Nicole Yunus, friends, our drawing will be open for about another 15 minutes, and we'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this Middays with Suzy Larson podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of Middays with Suzy Larson.